Okay, so I think we'll try to cover some Haggadah ideas, different of different sorts, and with that, hopefully, have what to take us into what we hope will be a beautiful Yontif. So we'll begin with the minhag. The minhag is to wear a kittel. I think we spoke a little bit the other day about one idea when it comes to the wearing of the kittel, but I saw somebody brought me this beautiful Haggadah in the Imos Yomeirum from Rabbi Baruch Rosenblum. I'm not sure who he is. But he quotes some very interesting ideas. One of the ideas that he quotes on the kittel is as follows. Again, the classic understanding is that it's either a reminder of the Yom HaMisa, which we spoke about a little bit in terms of Rav Druk's vort about it being a moment of tzava, a moment of giving over, a moment of wanting to give over a legacy. And the alternative is that Dom Elamalach Hashem. But he suggests a different idea. And he says it based on a Ramban who quotes from the pasuk in Yechezkel, "V'kineho ish levush habadim," that that refer to the Sefer Yechezkel and the Nebuah talks about the person who is wearing the badim. What does that refer to? Elu big day lavan. These are the big day lavan. What are the big day lavan? So the know the big day lavan are the begadim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur switches. He transitions from the Big Day Zahav to the Big Day Lavan, depending on what he is doing. The Big Day Zahav, the golden vestments, the golden begadim, are the ones that are normally worn for the Avodah with all Shmona begadim, with all the eight garments. When it comes to the Avodah, which is done lifnai v'lifnim, the Avodah which is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we have a rule of Ein Kategor Nasa Saneger. We don't want any reminder of the Chita Egel, which the Zahav would invoke in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom HaKippur, when we're trying to get Kapara. And therefore, we only have the Big Day Lavan. Okay? So he says, that's the reminder to the Big Day Lavan. Very nice. What does that have to do with wearing a kittel on the Leil HaSeder? Oh. So he quotes from the Maharal. The Maharal writes that the reason that we wear the Big Day Lavan on the Leil HaSeder is because the Avoda of the Seder is supposed to be a very white is a simple color, right? It doesn't have anything mixed over. You can debate whether white is even a color at all, if it just reflects light. But white is very, very simple. And the role of the Kohen Gadol in terms of the Avodah is also supposed to just kind of do what needs to be done. And therefore, what he suggests is that the reason that we are Kittel and El HaSeder, again, similar to an idea that we spoke about yesterday, is because the Leil HaSeder is actually a time of Avodah. We don't always think of it that way. We sometimes think of it as just a way of giving over. It's a story. It's Talmud Torah. We spoke about it based on that Ramban, the Darkei Moshe, about Urchatz, that it has an element of Tefillah. But this takes it even a step further. It's parallel to the concept of doing Avodah. And therefore, he says that same way the Kohen Gadol has a Koach HaTefillah, that his tefillos are special and are unique and are more potent when he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, so too are our tefillos. The tefillos that we share, the tefillos that we have together at the Seder, are actually like the Kohen Gadol, and therefore is an opportunity that we should take advantage of over the course of the Leil HaSeder. So Rav Druk writes in his Haggadah, when it comes to Halach Ma'anya, I think we spoke about Halach Ma'anya a little bit yesterday, but he writes the following. So again, we spoke about Hashda Hacha L'shana Haba'a Ba'arad Yisrael. Right? This is a paragraph which tells us not just about what was, but what we are yearning, and not what is, but what will be, and what we are yearning for. Right? That even though now we are in Galus, we yearn for the time that we're going to be in Yerushalayim, Lashana Habav Yerushalayim. And Mitzvah says that's a prominent theme throughout the Leil HaSeder. Why is that? Why is that that the future redemption is so prominent at the beginning and at the end of the Seder? And Rav Druk has a fascinating suggestion. So we know there's a very well-known Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that there's going to be certain questions that we are asked when we get to the Olam HaEmes. And one of them is Tzipisel Yeshua. Did you await the redemption? Did you wait for the redemption? And the Smak in the Sefer Mitzvos Katan has a very interesting question. says, where in the Torah do we find a mitzvah to await the redemption? If it's so critical, if it's so important, where do we find that mitzvah in the Torah? Where does the Torah... The Torah might tell us that it's going to happen, but where do we see that we have to be mitzapeh for it? That we have to desire for it? That we have to yearn for it? That we have to hope that it's going to come soon? And the Smak answers that the source is actually in the Aseret HaDibros. The first of the Aseret HaDibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. Okay, what does that have to do with the future redemption? What's the Smak saying? So the Smak explains that if it's in the Aseret HaDibros, then that needs to be a commandment. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim is not a commandment on the surface. It's a statement of fact. It's a belief. It's something about the past that we need to know. But what does that tell us in terms of being a mitzvah, in terms of being something which is going forward? Says the Smak. It must be that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating, that just as I want you to believe in me because I took you out of Mitzrayim, I want you to believe in me that I am the same Hashem who will redeem again. And built into Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim is the commandment to be mitzapeh for the future geula as well. And it's very interesting, right? Our entire belief in the future redemption comes from our belief and our relaying the story of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? This Dibra, the first of the commandments which we exist, which again really just seems to be the declaration upon which everything is built, ends up being the declaration upon which everything is built, because that is our future, that is the redemption. Oh. Now we can understand why the Haggadah begins and ends with a mention of the future redemption. Because it is inextricably linked with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim forms the basis, not just for what happened in the past. Why is it so critical? Because it's through understanding and appreciating what happened in Mitzrayim that we are able to appreciate, we're able to understand and yearn for the redemption in Eretz Yisrael. Oh. But how do we understand the Smak? Where do you see the mitzvah in the belief? So apparently they are one. Believing in the redemption and awaiting it are actually synonymous. What does that mean? When a person believes that something good is going to happen, so you wait and you look forward to it. If you're not looking forward to it, what does that really reflect? That you don't really believe it. Because if you really, really believed it, you would look for the opportunity to do it. And that's what the question of Tzipisa LeYeshua is all about. Did you await it? Because the only if you believed and believe in what happened to me in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Redeemer and says He's going to do it again, then I cannot be mitzapeh. If I'm not mitzapeh, that is megala. That reveals that there is something fundamentally lacking in my belief if I'm not being mitzapeh. It's a beautiful idea. Beautiful idea from Rav Druk. When we get to the Manish Tana, so one of the high differences that is highlighted in the Haggadah is Shevechol Halelos Einanu Matpilin Afilu Pa'am Achas. At all the nights we don't dip even once. Halayla Zeh Shetei Pa'amim. And on the night of the Seder we dip twice. If you have the Yiddish version, right? We actually the classic text of the Yiddish version is we articulate what the dippings are, right? One time we dip the vegetables, the karpas, in the Salzwasser, in the salt water, and then we dip the maror in the charoses. Chaim Palachi explains that these two acts of dipping are actually very, very important. Where is the first time that dipping is mentioned in the Torah? First time it's mentioned in the Torah is in Sefer Bereishis. Vayikru es kesones Yosef. They took the kesones pasim, Yosef's special coat. The brothers, vayishchatu si'irizim, and they shechted a goat. Vayitbelu esakutones badam. And they dipped that coat in blood. What was that moment? What happened at that moment? That was the moment at which whatever these negative and feelings and the hatred that the brothers had towards Yosef, it took it to the next level. It took it to the next level. And really was the starting point of what led them down to Mitzrayim. Yosef was insulted by Potiphar. He was the one who was in Mitzrayim. They go down to Mitzrayim to find them. There ends up being the famine. They end up being stuck there. They're accused of being spies. They end up being there. They grow there. And then they are enslaved there. Wow. It's the beginning of this negative process. What marked the reversal of the exile, right? And brings us to the beginning of the Geula. The second dipping. What's the second dipping? Shmos Yud Beis Chav Beis. Ulekachtem Agudas Ezov. Hashem commands them with take the bundle of hyssop. Utivaltem, and you dip it badam asher basaf, in the blood of the Korban Pesach. Vigatem alal mashkof velshtei mezuzos. And then you put it onto the mashkof and onto the two mezuzos. So in what merit the Chazal tell us we were able to get out of Mitzrayim? Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. So it all turned around with a dipping as well. Says Reb Chaim Palachi that those two dippings that were so critical in the Torah to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim are what we are being merames to in the dippings on the Leil HaSeder. The first of which recalls our descent to Egypt. The second, which is the catalyst for our redemption. So the salt water in which we dip the karpas is reminiscent of tears. Of tears, of the beginning of the exile. The truth is, it goes even a little bit further. If you look carefully, Rashi says on the Kisonis Pasim, right? Rashi says, on the Kisonis Pasim, Lashon Kli Melas Kimo Karpas Utrelas. Right? Chur Karpas Utrelas. When she's mentioned in Megillas Esther. So even in the description of the Kisonis Pasim, we mention Karpas. We mention Karpas. So there's something about that dipping of Karpas which is, again, the beginning of the suffering, and that's why we have the tears. The charoses, into which we dip the bitter mara, the charoses, it might be a zecher tip, but ultimately the charoses is sweet. And it takes that bitterness of the mara, and it starts to push back on it a little bit. And that symbolizes the redemption and the rectification of the bitterness, which begins with that second dipping, which again corresponds to the dipping of the blood into the blood of the Korban Pesach. I mentioned Karpas, the Rimanover has a beautiful hint, a vort, but a beautiful hint in the word Karpas to a yisod which is critical. Klal Rishon Pesagur. Klal Rishon Pesagur. The first thing you have to remember if you want to get redemption, right, we said that's what the goal of the deed were, is to keep your mouth shut. Is to keep your mouth shut. We end up getting ourselves into trouble, and that certainly was a trouble with Yosef and his brothers as well, when we open our mouths too much. And that is perhaps nirmas in the word karpas as well. Okay. Good. So we know that after that we discussed the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gedolei Hatanaim, who were sitting in Bnei Brak. Why were they sitting? Who was there, and why were they sitting in Bnei Brak? So the Haggadah tells us. Let's let it go. Maisa, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Nazar, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarpa, Rabbi Subu, Rabbi Nebrak. And they were sitting and discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim the entire night. Until the Talmidim came, Rabbi say no. Higia Zman Kriyas Shema Shal Shachris. It's time for Shachris. Time for Shachris. Oh. The Rosh Hashulchan asks, "What? How did it end up that everybody was in Bnei Brak? These Gedolei Tanaim, they're not all from Bnei Brak. The only one that we have any record of that lived in Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. So it certainly seems like everybody was going to Rabbi Akiva to have the Seder, to fulfill the mitzvah. It's possible. Why is it surprising? Because at least Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were actually the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva. So a Talmud going to a Rebbe, okay, so that's not so surprising. The Rebbe going to the Talmud for the Leil HaSeder seems to be a little bit surprising. What is it? What is it that drew them specifically to Rabbi Akiva? The Aruch HaShulchan suggests as follows. He quotes a very well-known Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells a story. Pamachas Hoyu Olin Yerushalayim. There were some of the Gedolei Atanaim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, and they were going up to Yerushalayim. When they came to Mount Scopus, they tore their garments. Why? Because they saw the Churban. They saw they were living through it. Right? When you're living through it and you really feel it, you don't try to find a shtick to, you know, be makna your shirt to somebody else that you can't tear kriya and the things like that that we sometimes try to do to get out of tearing kriya. They felt it. How could you not tear kriya? When they arrived, the Harabayus, and they saw a fox crossing through the Kodesh, the place the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. They started to cry, and Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. This isn't a time to laugh. Why are you crying? The place about which the Torah says, Vazara Karev, you must. If somebody comes inappropriately into it, a place of the Shekhinah is so potent it will kill the person. And now, Achshav Shulim Hilchabav Lenivka. Now there are foxes that are crossing through. We're not going to cry. Amar Lehem Lekachani Mitzachek. That's exactly why I'm laughing, I'm smiling. Dechziv, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Va'idu Le'edim Ne'manim Es Uri HaKoyim Es Zechariah Ben Yivrachayu. V'chimayin Yen Uri Etzal Zechariah. These two Edim are going to be Uri and Zechariah. What do they do with each other? Uri of Mekdash Rishon, Zechariah of Mekdash Sheni. One was in the first Beit Mekdash, one was in the second. Ela Tala Akas Nivot, so Zechariah of Mekdash Uri. The two Nevuos prophecies were connected. The Uri Aksiv in Michal, the Pasuk says, Lachim Beglachem Tzion, Sodeh Techaresh, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be plowed and threshed like a field. V'Zechariah Aksiv, Od Yeshvu, Zekeinim, Zekeinos, V'Rechov Yerushalayim. But Zechariah tells us that in the future, Yerushalayim is going to be vibrant and rebuilt. If they are connected, then I was concerned that if the Nevuah of Uriah didn't come true, then maybe the Nevuah of Zechariah wouldn't come true. Now that I saw the Nevuah of Uriah come true, so I'm confident that the Nevuah of Zechariah is going to come true as well. And what did they respond with those very well-known words? Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva Nichamtanu. Right, Akiva, you brought us some consolation. What exactly was this discussion over here? What was going on? Oh. So he suggested like this. Rabbi Akiva was telling the other Tanaim, what you're seeing right now is terrible. It's awful. You're seeing a fox in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It bothers you. But you're not seeing the full picture. You're only seeing a glimpse, a portion, part of what is really going on here. The other half of the full picture that you need to be looking at is Od Yeshvu Zekeinim Zekeinos Birchavos Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, who's the person that you go to if you're living in the Zman of the Churban and you can't bring the Korban Pesach? Your Pesach experience is completely different. It doesn't matter who's the Talmud, who's the Rebbe. You go to the person who's going to give you the chizik. That is Rebbe Akiva. Because Rebbe Akiva knew how to somehow take a step back and look at the totality of the situation and to realize that right now things might not be good. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to be good again. That's why they went to Rebbe Akiva. When we think about the story of the Golos, the story of Churban, part of our responsibility and what we need to do is we need to look at the totality of the picture, and that this is a step in a process. It's a step in a process, and our Golos that we are in is not the final stop, but it's a journey and part of that journey along. God then tells us, Baruch HaMakom. No, sorry, one other idea before that. If you go back for a second to the Manush Tana, I forgot something I wanted to mention. The Medrash that I noticed several years ago, that's just so surprising. You know, sometimes you have those Medrash Pliya, and they just get you thinking, and you're trying to figure out, what is this Medrash talking about? So the Manush Tana tells us, right, that halayla is that kulanu musubin. So we know that there is a halacha that has seba, that reclining is required on the Leil HaSeder. The pasuk at the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach tells us, "Vayasev Elokim Esam Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf," that God turned the people right in a circuitous route around to the Yamsuf. And the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah Chaf Yudches says that from here the Chachamim derived that you're not allowed to eat on the Leil HaSeder until you're sitting Behaseva. Why? Because it says Vayasev Miloshen Heseba Vayasev Elokim. Ma inyan Shmita Har Sinai. What does one have to do with the other? It's the same Shoresh, but that is it. What connection are Chazal trying to bring to us? What connection is there between the mitzvah of reclining at the Seder and Hashem diverting the Jewish people through the wilderness? So Rav Druk suggests as follows. He suggests that, take a step back for a moment, we're all trying to feel derech eretz, like free people, like royalty on the Leil HaSeder. But there are people for whom it's very difficult. It's very hard. Think of the Ani, right? The Ani at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. Right, afilu ani, what does it say? Lo yochel ad sheyaseh, afilu ani shev Yisrael. Opening Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim. Right, afilu ani shev Yisrael lo yochel ad sheyaseh. I think that's the lashon of the Mishnah. Right, there's a requirement for a seva. I think we spoke about it at the time when we learned the Arvei Pesachim. Right, what's the chiddush that line? Right, Mishnah only tells us chiddushim. Right, maybe we would have thought that the ani doesn't have. It's very hard for an ani to experience a seva, and yet it's required. Why is he commanded to recline if he can't feel chiddush? So the answer of Juk suggested goes back to understanding the special kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he led them on this circuitous route in the wilderness. At the time, it seemed that he made the journey more difficult and more burdensome. Why can't we just go straight? We just left Mitzrayim. We've been enslaved for 210 years. Things have been hard. Now that we left, just take us straight to Eretz Yisrael. Let's just be done with this already. Why are you making our journey more difficult? But then it emerges that it was actually for their benefit. How was it for the benefit that Hashem led them in this circuitous route? Oh. So the Jews, when they were in Egypt, were slaves to Paro, not only in body, but in spirit as well. Right, that's how many explain, that's what the Rav explained as being the idea of at the end of Avodei Mayino, right? Who says? Who says? Right? Empires rise and fall all the time. Why would we think that we're still going to be Meshubat to Paro and Mitzrayim had Hashem not taken us out at that time? What's the answer? The answer is, even if we wouldn't have been physically, we wouldn't have gotten out of that slave mentality. Right? There was a Ruchnius type of Shiva that existed as well. So they were slaves in multiple ways. And Hashem wanted to free their bodies and their souls. And this required to detach them completely from Paro and the Egyptians. So if Paro just freed them on his own, they would not have been fully detached. But Hashem took us out with a Yad Chazakah. But then what happened? Well, the Egyptians agreed in the end to send the Jews out of their land. And they gave them the gold and the silver, the Haftacha that Avram Avinu had. Oh. So how did they finally see that it was really a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not the Mitzrim? They saw it because now Paro's heart was hardened. And he ran after them into the Midbar. Now they realize it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is going to save us. It's not that Paro left him out in his own way. Let us out in the way that he wanted to. And that it was because Paro being nice that got us out of Mitzrayim. So it was only because they went in this circuitous route and they were still there in the Midbar did they see that the Egyptians were coming after them. And then they drowned. They realized that it was HaKadosh Baruch. Oh, now the Geula is complete. When the Medrash links the words Vayasev Elokim Esa'am with the Ani, right? Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael Yochal Ad Sheyesev, right? It was exactly this idea. That the message to the Ani is to try to have hope for the future. Things seem difficult right now. But when we know that the journey comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we know that it's God calling the shouts, then that hopefully gives us that emunah, that bitachon, that sometimes it is a little bit of a circuitous route, but there's a destination. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us in the same way that He took us out of the Midbar. And at the time, we may not have felt the confidence that this is something which is good for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yaseiv Elokim esam derech ha-Midbar yam suf. He tells us that in fact, that's the lesson for the Ani as well, to try and be mechazek the Ani. There's actually a similar idea, maybe in Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, the next part of the Haggadah. Right, Baruch Shanas Antor Lam Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. What's the idea of Makom? What's this idea of Makom? Right. When do we really refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Makom? So Rav Schwab explains that really there are two times, and we're familiar with both the times, the primary times in which we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Makom. Right? Because it could have said Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu, right? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. We always say Baruch Hashem. Why Baruch HaMakom? Usually when we're using the term Makom, it's at a time of difficulty. Right? The two most prominent times are Nichum Avelim, right? HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. And the other time is, right, Achinu Kobeis Yisrael, Anasun Batsar B'Shivya, HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem. Those are the two primary times that we use the term HaMakom. It seems to be that it has to do with some sort of comfort in times of sadness. Rav Schwab explains that what we're trying to relate to the Avelim, to those that are in Sara, that right now where you are, it seems like you are alone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with you. Because it's just a really, really hard time. It's not a good situation. So we say, we understand that. Where you are right now, HaMakom, Yinachem Eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So even when you feel distant, remember HaMakom. That in the Makom where you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there as well. And that's supposed to give, hopefully, chizik to those that are going through a difficult time. What does that have to do with the Haggadah? Suggests Rav Schwab, Baruch HaMakom is introduction to Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. And there are all types of people. What's the purpose of this Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah? Presumably the concept is that everybody who's sitting at this table, everybody who's gathered around to the Seder is coming with different baggage. We all have our baggage. We're coming from different perspectives. We're coming with different situations. But the Torah speaks to every single person. And there is something to gain at the Seder for every single person. Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah, whatever category. And maybe, as some explain, maybe these really exist in each and every one of us. And there are times that we feel like the Chacham. And there are times, and then there are times when we're, you know, 80% the Chacham and 20% the Ram. No, there are parts of this, there are elements of this in every person's neshama. In every person's character. And that's what the Haggadah is telling us, is that the Torah speaks to every single one of those people. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And that's why we use the term Makom. That there's going to be somebody here who's going through a difficult time. And we're trying to bring everybody together. We got it to Levincha. But remember, in whatever situation you find yourself, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And there are people who are ill. And there are people who don't have children, to ask them the question, to say there are people who are going through different difficult situations. And we say, as we introduce the Arba Banim, but remember, whatever situation you find yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of our lives. And that's the introduction of Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom. Rav Juk takes it in a slightly different direction. And he wonders, well, what's the connection specifically between Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, and Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah? Right? What's the connection between those two statements? Again, we just had one explanation from Rav Schwab. He wants to know what's the connection between those two. And he suggests that Makom, Baruch HaMakom, is not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not referring to, very different shot. So what could it possibly be referring to? He says that maybe Baruch HaMakom is to the place a person finds himself. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. In the place where I am right now, Baruch HaMakom, in this place, Baruch Hu, it's got to be for good. But how do I make it for good? Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. If I bring the Torah in. If I bring the Torah in. Torah can be learned any place, anytime, anywhere. And when we feel distant, and then we find a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, there's nothing that can stop us. There's nothing that can stop us. And that, he suggests, is Baruch HaMakom. Obviously, it's rooted in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekom HaShalom as well. But there's a beautiful depth to understanding that Makom is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Wherever I find myself in my life, I need to figure out how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little later on, after the Arba Banim, we have the Baruch Shomer Haftachaso Yisrael. Right? Blessed is Hashem who watches over His promise to the Jewish people. What does it mean to be Shomer? He's Shomer. Because Rose Mekayim, he fulfills. Shomer, he watches over. What does that mean? So Rav Juk explains, based on a very important, it's an important Rashi to know, because Rashi tells us, Al HaTorah, a beautiful insight into a word in the Torah. Right? The Pasuk says, we usually think of Shomer as to watch. But it says, when it comes to Yosef's dreams, back to Yosef again, V'aviv shamar es hadavar. Yaakov watched over. What does it mean he watched over it? Rashi says that he was Yosef umetzape. He was waiting for the moment that it was going to come true. He was awaiting it. So shomer doesn't just mean that I'm watching it, but that I'm yearning for it. Similar to the piece of the Yeshua that we had earlier. I think the Apterubs, it says, that's why, right, we call people who keep Shabbos, Shomrei Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos. Why Shomer Shabbos? Because the person who really keeps Shabbos is mitzapeh for Shabbos. You look forward to Shabbos. Now, you don't just sit there and keep Shabbos when it comes, but you anticipate that Shabbos is coming. That is Shmira. Shmira is looking forward that something is going to happen. When it says that it's a Leil Shimurim, the night of the Leil Seder, it's also a Kadosh Baruch Hu was anticipating the Geula. Oh. So now we get tremendous chizuk. Baruch Shomer Tachosel Yisrael Baruch Hu is not just that Hakadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill. Okay, that's beautiful that Hakadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill the a promise and will take them out of Egypt. What we see is that no, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is like a parent. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, out of his ahava, out of his love for us, looks for the opportunity. Shomer Tachosel Yisrael. He was waiting until the calculus was just right, using his racham and using his chesed, using whatever tools he has to be able to provide for us, to be able to bring us, to be able to bring us that Yeshua. And that's Baruch Shomer, not Mekayim. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim. But the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifested in the fact that he is willing to be Shomer HaTachasel, that he's looking for the opportunity to bring upon us a fulfillment of the Geula. In that spirit, maybe one final word. When we're darshaning the psukim, so one of the things that we say as we're going through the drushos of those psukim is the pasuk says, "Vayhi sham legoy gadol atzum varav." Right, pasuk in Devarim, and we darshin it. So how do we darshin the word atzum? Atzum, gadol atzum. We say kimashin emar v'nei yisrael paru v'yishutzu v'yerbu v'yatzmu b'ma'od mo'od. Are they great and mighty? Right, the b'nei yisrael multiplied, increased greatly, and became very, very strong. So the pasuk says, right, "V'chasher ya'anua, so kein yibed v'chein ritzavotz." The more that they were ma'ana, the more that they afflicted, the more that the Bnei Yisrael grew. Okay, so what's the greatness of that? So the simplest understanding, right, is that even though the Egyptians oppressed them, which you would think would cause the birth rate to drop, to fall, there is increased. Oh. But Rav Druk says that no, there was something much deeper going on here. Why was it that was necessary? What was the toiva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing? So, you know, one of the challenges that we try to explain in the psukim is, right, the promise to Avram Avinu in the Bris Ben Avisarim was that your children are going to be in Golos for 400 years. But practically, we know that they were only in Egypt for 210 years. So, yeah, we talk about the Avodah being the equivalent. Okay. Oh. So he suggests, how can it be, right? How can it be that the people who were supposed to be born later, right? Presumably it was supposed to be spread out over 400 years. So the people who were going to be born in the last 190 years, so how did they end up getting puttered from whatever this decree was? So he suggests, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all the people that were supposed to be born throughout the 400 years and got them into the 210 years. And that way, the same people that were included in the Gzeir of the 400 years and the same amount of avoda that needed to happen actually happened. So the chasher yonoso, the more they afflicted the Jewish people, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, I got to get them out of here. But I promised 400 years. That was what I said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you be I'll give them more people. The more people, then it's going to be condensed. And that gezeirah was condensed. That was part of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I guess the last idea, just to finish off, is right. There are only two times a year where we conclude with Lashana Haba Yerushalayim. When do those? Yom Kippur and the Leil HaSeder. Why is it? It's something that we yearn for all the time. So I think it's because that at the end conclusion of Yom Kippur and at the conclusion of the Leil HaSeder is when we realize that these nights and these days and these experiences were very different than what they were supposed to be. Right? They're the two days that were most prominent in terms of what the unique avodos were going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. And that everything was supposed to surround the Beis HaMikdash. The avod of Yom Kippurim, that was supposed to be what Yom Kippur is about. And we didn't have it. So Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim, we can't take it anymore. The way the Mishnayos, and you should look at them over the coming days, the way the Mishnayos describe what it was like on Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim with the Kohanim knee-deep in blood and the three groups and the challah being sung. We don't have that. We don't have that. Our Pesach experience is fundamentally different. The Leil HaSeder is not what it should be. Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So at those times, when we most acutely should feel, and hopefully do feel, the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, we say the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. And hopefully, if we put the avodah that we can into the Leil HaSeder, into the experience that we prepare, right? If we're not prepared, we don't gain. We never gain from anything if we don't prepare. But if we prepare for the Leil HaSeder, prepare ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, with Divrei Torah, with Divrei Hesoros, with words that can uplift ourselves and those around us, then hopefully we will be zocha to Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim Habnuya.